but yeah, we love our Christmas speaker. So, Allison, I'm going to leave it to you.
Yeah, so, okay, so this is my favorite part because my husband, okay, so he's Jose, and it's actually Uribe, if you can roll your R's. Uribe is, yeah, however you want to say it. But we met a week after, like I said, after he graduated from the academy. What's really exciting is he's patrolled all these years, and he has moved up to number 13 to get promoted, so to detective. He's going to get himself a little fancy hat. And they're wearing them in San Antonio, which is a little funny, but we're real excited about that. And we have three kids. We homeschool, believe it or not. We've got two boys and a girl, Princess. Even her brothers call her Princess. When they fight, she is still Princess. And they do that. So the oldest is, how old is he? He's 17. Everybody just had birthdays. And then my middle, Samuel, is 14. And then we call her Mighty Belle, but we call her Belly because I call her Maribelly. So she went from Maribelly to Belly. And so she is just turned 13. So, yeah, that's rough. So I have teenagers. But they're so good. I have to say they're so good. We you know, they've been homeschooled, and they did want to try school, so I sent them. They decided, nope, not doing this. What did I do? Oh, can you hear me back there? I have a soft voice. You're going to have to tell me louder because I'm like, really quiet person, believe it or not. Yeah. So, I mean, they're really good. We really bonded all these years and did that. And, you know, it's really cool that you asked me to do this because I am going to share another story with you. When I realized that a lot of this was pretty heavy and pretty weighty because we've been facing a lot of things. You know, we talk about the officer, then we talk about the spouse, but a far few times we cover the children. And we kind of put them on the side when, in fact, they're actually walking this line with us. And it's a big deal. And to see, and I think Jen, your daughter, wrote something so powerful about what she's been seeing, you know, with the George Floyd case, with the masks, with the riots, with the corona, with all these different things that we're seeing. It's not just affecting just us as a couple. I mean, it's affecting our children. It's affecting our homes. And it's a really heavy weight that if you were to take the time, I don't know if your children are open with you or not. My oldest will, he's emotional. He will tell me everything he's feeling. He's the one who keeps me like in tune with the news because I don't watch the news, but he's my reporter in the morning. Mom, okay, we got this and this and this. And I was like, okay. So he's very into watching things, and I've had to protect him, and I did so well doing that. My children have never had cell phones or social media. I told them you can have a cell phone when you can pay for it and your bill. So my son, being 17, just got a job. So now he has a phone, and he pays for his bills, paid for his phone. But it hurts me because now he's got more access. You know, we had to kind of train him up in that to, like, okay, you're going to be seeing this. As opposed to when he was little, I could protect him as much as I needed to or wanted to. But a lot of people think, well, you're homeschooled, you just, you know, stay inside and you know what the grass looks like out there. But, you know, he's got friendships and he's got all kinds of people that would actually tell him things that were occurring. And we had to deal with that. And I had to, you know, keep certain things just to protect his heart. And they're all so different. Our children, I mean, if you have children in this room, they're so different. His personality, you need to protect it. My middle son's like, Dad's doing what he's got to do. He's fine, Mom. I was like, okay, he's bold and strong and Princess. Oh, Princess. So that's her daddies. She doesn't call him daddy. She calls him daddies. And I don't know why. She's done that since she was little. So she gets whatever she wants. But her thing is she's very private about her emotions for being a girl, which is really surprising. So I actually have to be very intentional about going to her and just saying, okay, how are we? Especially because sometimes I'll get one of the pastors at our church will, hey, you know, Maribel, we're at camp, and she said that, you know, she was crying and asked for prayer over her father. Things I would not have known, but I'm just glad she has that safe place to do so, which is awesome, which opens me up to that the gift. We, you know, you're going to be surprised at what that gift is by the end of the talk. And through things that we have been facing, even now, through the many things that we've seen our children face in it, there are going to be times in this life that we're doing with law enforcement that is going to, like I said, remember I said it's going to change you. It's going to, if you've been married before and then he joined, you'll notice a difference. The face changes, things change, attitudes change, the way they see things change. You can't just go to a restaurant, sit where you want. You got to sit with your back to the wall now. You got to be comfortable for you to be sitting down eating your burger and he just leaves and he leaves you in the dust while you're eating your burger. You've got to grow some thick skin in this life. But there was one particular time where me and my kids were outside. They were playing basketball. I was tending to my, I don't even know what those things are. They can't die. That's why I have them. Those purple things that go crazy. I think they're called wandering willows or something. Plants don't like me. So those will, they just don't die. They die, but they keep growing. So it's wonderful. So I was tending to those. And we lived, at the time, we lived in a cul-de-sac. And my kids were playing, laughing. I could hear them. And I was faced the other way. My husband is at work. And I remember hearing them laughing in the basketball, and then it just, like, all heard the ball just go, and it got quiet. And so then I turned around, and I see my son. This is, like, actually about probably 5 or 6 years ago. They were much younger. They were much younger. So to me, I didn't think they understood anything quite yet. But my son, my middle son, is standing at the edge of the driveway like this, almost looks frozen. My oldest is there, and he's just kind of like that. And then my little girl just stopped, and they just stood there. And I thought, what are you looking at? I was like, what's wrong, guys? I was like, what's wrong? And I look, and I thought, oh. And two patrol cars were driving down the street, but slowly. So slowly that I thought, oh, man. I was thinking in my head, and I wasn't ready. I just remember the drain, the blood just went all, just drained out of me because of, I didn't know what was going to happen. And my son goes, Mommy, Daddy, Daddy. He looked so scared. He looked so scared. And all I did was this. I said, we're going to be okay. I said, we're going to be okay, guys. We're going to be okay. That was the only thing I could think to, I get chills. That's the only thing that I could think to come out of my mouth. So the officer starts driving slow. And what does he do? He rolls his window down. He goes, really? I wanted to kill him. I wanted to hurt him. And you know, the Hispanic culture, the grandma gets the chancla, the flip-flop. Yeah, I just wanted to get my chancla and throw it right at him. I was like, dude, really? They were using our street to turn around. And I was like, they understand. How would you have known a patrol car coming to your house meant something? Like, I just said, and they just looked at me, and I said, guys, let's go inside. Let's go inside and call Daddy. Let's go call your father. Okay. I said, all right. So we went inside. They sat down, and it's like, if you've ever been in that position, it's just this. You can breathe again, but yet you don't know what's going on with your children, that you want to comfort them. You don't know how. And so I called my husband. I was like, look, it's like these tow patrol cars just came really slowly. The kids got scared. We need to talk when you get home. Because I honestly had not even realized that they understood what that meant. Because nobody wants to see that on their street. Nobody wants to be washing dishes, look out the window to see a chaplain and an officer pulling up. That's something we dread as a spouse. That's something we have to fight fear on, right? But it takes courage. And it takes a lot of it. They were fine when we got to talk to him, which I'm so grateful for, because I share that like part with you. Because we can easily, especially now, we can easily fall into the trap of fear. Fall into that trap of the unknown where we have anxiety. We can fall into a victim mode. We can fall into the trap thinking that we're not enough. And sometimes they say, oh, that's his wife. Oh, that's Jose. That's Joe's wife. I've been told that. Oh, you're Joe's wife. Yeah, I'm Joe's wife. But I'm so much more, and you are so much more than just the police wife or the police husband or the officer. You have more purpose. And there's a gift to be found in that. And see, that's just it. In this role that we took on, and I say we took it on because, yeah, that's his job or her job. I get that. That's, yeah. But we take that on, and it's not because of any other reason that when we said I do, we became one flesh. When they hurt, we hurt. When they're sad, we're sad. When they're mad, we're mad. When someone's cranky, what happens? You get cranky, right? Because you're one person. You're one flesh. This is why things affect you. But we're doing more than just being by their side. And I hope that you will see what you do is valuable before the session is over. Has anybody ever heard of the invisible woman? Have you seen that? You haven't. Okay. You've seen the invisible woman? Is she not cool? There is a video on YouTube I want you to look up called The Invisible Woman, and it's not the movie. It's a really powerful thing because you're going to find the movie, but you have to look for it. The Invisible Woman. Do you remember her name? Please. So this lady is talking about how she goes about each day, taking care of her children in the house, doing all her job, doing all the things that she's doing. And she said, I went to a party with my husband, and I was like, hey, honey, you know, let's go. It's time to go. And she goes, he just kept talking. She was like, I felt invisible. She said, I would hear the TV in the other room and go and say, hey, would you turn the music down or the TV down, please? And nobody would turn it down. So she would ask again. She was, I was invisible. She said, I felt so invisible. But then she got invited to dinner with a really great friend of hers that was coming in from Europe. And when she was at the dinner, her friend presented her with a book. And it was of the great cathedrals of Europe. And so she said that she was thinking, okay, a book of cathedrals? Like, she didn't, wasn't understanding. And when she looked at the inscription, it said, for all the things that you're doing that goes unnoticed. Nicole Johnson. She's a sweet lady. You're going to love that video. Nicole Johnson, The Invisible Woman. So she goes. She says that as she looked through the book, because she wasn't understanding, what do you mean that no one notices and for all the things I'm doing? So she looks through the book, and she sees that all these cathedrals, these great, beautiful, mammoth works, if you look at the bottom of the page, it would say builder unknown. So each cathedral and its builder was unknown. And then she went on to say that there was a specific man that was, I guess he was painting or carving a bird in a tower that was high up on the cathedral that nobody's ever going to see. This guy asked him, like, why are you working so hard and focusing on something nobody's ever going to see? And they said that the painter said, because God sees. Because he trusted that God saw everything. But I share that with you because there are things that we're going to be doing as a spouse. There are sacrifices that we will make that will go unnoticed, you will not get a thank you for. Like the dishes I wash daily that nobody says thank you to me, or the washed uniform, or the staying up late to dry the boots that were wet. There are going to be things that you do that you will not get a thank you for. And may I remind you, there are going to be things that our officers do that are not, they're not going to get a thank you for it. But yet, they still gear up, and we have to be brave enough to let them do it. Why? Because we were building something great. Because even in the smallest sacrifices, you are building something greater. And you may not even see the finished product. What did I say earlier? There are babies being born every day. I'm sure there's some born today. Some of them will be future law enforcement. Isn't that something? Some of them will be police wives. And some of them will be police husbands. And they're being born right now. And we are the history. We are building something great for them. We're building a cathedral for them, a place where they can go, a place where they can live, a legacy that we will leave. And we have to ask ourselves what legacy we want to leave. Because it's rough right now. And there's no judgment here for anybody it's been too much and they've had to walk away. There is no judgment here. But wow. to the ones that don't know what will be, who don't know if they're going to get defunded, who don't know if they're going to come home, which is an everyday thing. But we're doing it for, because why? Because we believe in something greater. Because we know our society, whether they believe it or they believe it, see it, want it or not, they need service and they need protection. They need people that are brave enough to say, whether you like me, love me or not, I'm going to be here for you. Another reason why I love God. Because I didn't like him before. I do now. But he's always loved me. And that's something I can't comprehend. I think that's something a lot of us in this room cannot comprehend. They always say, well, you know, you got to be kind to people. You got to love people. But yet they choose who they love. And they choose who they're kind to. That goes down to humility. I don't even know why I'm going to share this with you, but I am. I feel like it's important, and I'm going to obey that. Remember I told you I was molested by a pastor? So a few years ago, it was probably like, I want to say five to six years ago. I remember my sons were watching The Karate Kid. And I was folding socks. And I heard Mr. Miyagi, he was about to beat, what's his name? I forgot. You know who I'm talking about, the Cobra Kai guy. So he was about to beat him up. And then he just got him on, he's like, mercy. And, you know, he was about to, like, break his nose or something or kill. And then he finishes and lets him go. And then Daniel tells him, you could have killed him, Mr. Miyagi, you know. And he's, like, walking. He's like, yeah. He says, but unforgiveness is far worse than death. He won't forgive himself. The immediate thought I had was not towards anything else but that man that did that, the pastor. And I was like, why am I feeling this way? So I went on the sex offender list to find him, and I did. And I started crying because it was really rough to look him in the face to see that he's on there because there's other little girls. You know, there's other girls he hurt. He served a week so he could be home by Thanksgiving. Because I wouldn't talk. I was too scared. I was petrified. I was too scared of him. What I realized was, when it was happening, and I'm going to get a little sorry, because I want you to get this. The classroom was set up this way. The desk was here. This was the wall. It all happened behind a desk. And I stood there frozen because I couldn't do anything. I used to look over and see the principal's office, and I wanted to scream and run for help, but I couldn't move was the problem. I could not move. And I realized that I was still standing there. All these years, I was still that little girl, scared, frozen, and angry, standing there because I couldn't do anything about it. And as a follower of God, they say to forgive. So I wanted to pursue that in my life. And whether you follow God or not, forgiveness is good. It's a real gift. It's a real, what is it, chain breaker. If you will. It doesn't do anything for them. It does something for you. And so I took my kids to play soccer in the field. And I was walking around and I just thought, I forgive him. I want to forgive him. I was like, I think I forgive him, but I want to. And so I thought, I'll write him a letter. His address was there on the database. But I knew it wasn't time. I told my husband when he got home, and he was like looking at me like, you want to do that? I was like, I wouldn't put our address. I was like, I won't, but we asked the department that I was a chaplain. I said, can I use this address? Like, sure. And I just, you know, put that as a return address. It was about 2 weeks later. I woke up one morning, and I thought, right now. It's now. I went into my computer, and I started writing to him. And my writing consisted of, I know that you were a believer in Christ. I know that you believed God. I also know he was with us in the room. But I also know, because of how horrible I am as a person, because I fall so short. I still do every day, guys. I'm not perfect. I want grace in my life. I want somebody to forgive me when I do something wrong. At any degree. And so I told him, I hope you know that I forgive you. And I hope you know God forgives you. That's why he died for you. And I hope that you have such a blessed life. I hope this finds you with joy. And I sent it. I don't know the outcome of it. I don't know. I never heard back from him. It's okay. I don't know why that happened. But I can tell you this. It took physically doing something to realize that I had, to where I could look at his picture. And this is what forgiveness does. Have you ever been so angry at somebody, or you think about something, your heart starts racing really fast, and you start, and everything starts recounting in your head, right? You get anxiety, heart, everything just like sweat. That day I went and looked at his picture, and my heart just beat so peacefully. And I just touched the screen, and I was like, thank you, Lord. Bless this man that hurt me. And I say that because I want him, when I mess up, and I have messed up a lot in life, both of me, you do not want to know my past. That same hand went down and said, God bless her, forgive her. Did not plan on sharing that, but I think it's important, because with all the ugly we're seeing on the TV right now and all the things that we're viewing on the screen and all, you know, the comments on Facebook that they say not to read, and you read it, ladies, get in trouble. All those things start stirring bitterness, and it starts stirring unforgiveness. And guess what? You're affected by it. And guess what? The other person is, and they're fine, and they walk off. It's not about them, it's about you. It will free you when you do that. And I challenge you to that, and the reason I say this, now I'm realizing why, is because some of you, I feel in this room, don't want your officer to go back out there. Why would you protect somebody that hates you? What's the point? I even said they should just go a day without police, see what happens. I have. My flesh spoke. But it's not about that. We will have to have daily forgiveness for the people that are cities, for our citizens. Because I think about the terms, they know not what they do. Because they're so blinded. Because they don't know. Because my heart hurts when I see their faces. Did you see the face of that gentleman during Frank's session? The one that would kill, that did the killings? Did you see his eyes? Oh, that hurts my heart. He has not tasted grace. He has not tasted love. He's only tasted more hate and fueled with more hate. But what would happen? I mean, what would happen if somebody just showed him that little bit? I always say it's funny. I had actually gotten a message on my, if you follow the Wives on Duty page, I had written something about the power of being a police wife, the beauty of it, about how she stands next to him. And this man commented, he says, your pig will probably die today. And if he does, he says, I hope that he will die like the pig he is in the, I'm not going to say the other word he is, in an alley as he's being gutted. He goes, this is probably you today. And I thought, okay, brother, all right. The flesh has to die. Thank you, Jesus, Allison has died. Because I had a lot in my head, but I thought, if I can forgive somebody who did that to me, I can definitely forgive you. So I thought, okay, I'm gonna take the higher road here. Because I could have easily just like gone keyboard warrior on him, but I thought, let's see what happens with this guy. So I said, sir, you are so right. You are. I said, my husband could die today. You are so right. But I noticed that his profile picture, it was him and his bride kissing. And I said, and yes, oh, and that's right. He said, I'm sure you and your family would cry like, I'm not going to say the word. And I said, and you are so right. I would cry for him. My children would cry for him. I said, and God bless you. And he could die today. I said, you are just so right, sir. I said, but we would cry, just like I'm sure your wife would cry, if that was you in the alley. And I said, these women here need encouragement with the times they're going through. I was like, we're not here to fight with you. I said, God bless you, and I'm going to keep you in prayer, and I pray that you live a long life full of blessings. And I showed my brother, because my brother gets protective of me. I said, look what this dude said. And he's like, Allison, go delete it. And I was like, well, I said, hang on just a minute. I don't think I can yet. I don't know why. I just felt, no, I'm not going to do it yet. It was about 20 minutes that it passed. I went back to the page and it said user. He had deleted his own comment. Wow. Yeah. It could have kept going. I could have added more fuel to his fire. And I'm not saying I'm a goody two-shoe. I'm just saying there's just something about grace and something about forgiveness that is so powerful, ladies and gentlemen. It's powerful. How do you fight with somebody that won't argue back, but it's going to show you love and show you what that looks like? And that he deleted the comment. I didn't need to do it. Because he had conviction in his heart. He knew it was wrong. I don't know if he tried other pages, but there's something about that. And sacrificial is what it is. It's sacrificial living. Remember I said it's not about what you want to be, remember? It's about what you need to be for the sake of the other. My dad, I grew up and he used to tell me, he goes, have the skin of a rhinoceros. He's like, as they get mud thrown at them, it dries up and falls right off. He's like, because the only time that you'll ever be with those people, say, is when you allow it and when you actually receive it and you start to believe it. He's like, let it dry up and fall off. While it gives us no guarantee of return in this life, and while it gives us no guarantee of everybody cheering us on again and having the hero thing again, it's in the challenges. It's going to be in those Facebook comments. It's going to be when a patrol car pulls up at your door. It's going to be when you get the call, I'm okay, but. It's going to be when you're watching TV and another officer is down for the millionth time, which it feels like half the time. It's going to be there. It's just going to be what you do with it. Faith is courage to face reality with hope. Faith is courage to face reality with hope. And I talk about faith because if you sit there and you allow yourself to accumulate in the junk or in the what if something happens, what if this is going to happen, what, that's just not living anymore. Because the truth is, what if? I remember going to this death notification I got at 10:30 at night. And they said, Allison, we need you to, they're like, chap, you got to come out. I was like, what's wrong? He's like, she won't come downstairs. An officer was, he was killed on his way home. He was hit by a truck. And she won't come downstairs because she's waiting for him to come home. So there's so much family. There's people. It's chaotic. We can't control them. I said, I'm on my way. I did not know what to do. I prayed. And I remember saying, I was so scared. I was at the light. And the reason I was so scared, and I told my husband, he's like, what's wrong? Because I was shaking. I said, because that could be me. And I'm having to go into a place where, what if that was me? And I was like, and I don't know what to say. How am I going to get her downstairs? And I was like, Lord, oh, I was like, why are you calling me here? Like, I don't understand. I was like, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. I was literally doing this and kind of hyperventilating because I was scared. I was like, and all that I do and all I go through, Jesus, I trust in you. I was like, okay. And I kept saying that over and over again. And then, I am not Whitney Houston, but I started to sing it. Didn't sound pretty, but I started to sing it. And then when I pulled up, I felt the need, like I feel like God said, sing it. I was like, no, because I'm definitely not a singer. I was like, no. I was like, my voice is bad, no. I was like, no, that's why would I even think something like that? And then I realized, I go inside and there's like crying over here, there's laughing over here, there's officers over here, there's kids running around over here, and everybody, and she needs to come down. I'm upset with the chaplain, she needs to come down. I was like, okay, so why don't we get everybody in the living room? And I was like, what are we going to do? But okay. So we get everybody in the living room, and they're like, we can go get her. I said, leave her alone. Let's just leave her alone. Well, she needs to be down. I said, no, she doesn't. She's okay. Let's leave her alone. Well, she thinks that. I was like, I know what she thinks. I know she thinks he's coming home, but we need to just, let's focus here. So I said, everybody hold hands. Okay. And I told him exactly. I said, I've been scared to come and talk to you because I didn't know what I was going to say, but I'm gonna do something. They were like, okay. And everybody was just kind of like, well, kind of talking. They were still talking. They just couldn't stop talking. It was just so much chatter. I thought, wow. So I started singing the song. Oh, God, that was embarrassing. I started singing the song, Jesus, I Trust. I'm not going to do it here. But I started singing it. And I sang it three times. And by the third time, it was like, and guess what? Guess who came downstairs? She started to come downstairs with her baby, and she had her tissues. And I said, hi. And she goes, hi. And I said, you can have a seat. She's okay. And then I said, you know what? And I talked to the mother, because the mother was, she was torn apart. And we talked about the birth and the death. I said, Mama, I said, you know, we're gonna deal with the birth. You're going to see his date. You're going to remember that day. I said, sweet girl, I talked to his bride. So you remember that wedding day and the birth of this baby and all these beautiful things. I go, I want to focus on the good things, the beautiful things of his life. I said, we're going to go around the room. And she goes like, and she's like, he is, and the wife says, he is such a kind person. And she started crying. He is, and I was like, yes, he is. And then by the end, we went, and she was, you know what? He was an amazing daddy and husband. She had to realize what was happening. But after that, she wipes her eyes, and she goes, you know what? We're going to be all right. I said, yes, you are. She goes, yeah. She goes, you know what? She says, we got to get this done, Mom. She was telling her mom. And she has the baby. And she said, we're going to do this. And we're going to get this together. Her demeanor just changed. And what I saw was courage. What I saw was faith that we were going to be okay. It was beautiful to see. And if I ask you, could you do it? Do you think you could right now? You probably could. I honestly don't think I could do that. I'd fall apart. I would fall apart. But she did it. She did it, and she did it beautifully. But how can we change our perspective? Wow, really, that's it? Got to speed things up a bit. And that's okay. What needed to be said was said then. I trust that. Hold on. You know what? I did. Okay, I got 5 minutes, but I got it. 1 second. I wanted to read something to you. And it's important. It's very important. And here. This is why you're in here. This is why. Could you imagine a day without you? And I'm talking to the spouses. I'm also talking to y'all, the officers. A day without you would be a sad day indeed. Being a wife on duty is not what you do. It's in what you express to those around you. The nonverbal is so much louder. It's what you do in silence that makes the deepest impact. The things the world will never know. The sacrifice is astounding. But most of all, the women called to this life are set apart. For one, there would be no heart in the home that our first responders return to. There wouldn't be prayers whispered so eloquently and passionately as our first responders head out. The strength needed to uphold our first responders when they need to be held or felt safe would cease. The touch of your hands that can calm and bring peace would not be there to reach out for theirs. As your voice calms the war or the anger inside him, the silence would be too much to bear. But the sacrifices, the one thing that screams love would stop. The one thing that screams grace would stop. Forgiveness would stop. A day without you would be a day without witness. You are a witness. You see it all. You raise up your sleeves and your arms are full of strength. You listen to the heartache of the beat and embrace a broken heart. As you hear of an officer down while fighting tears, still you let them go. Never doubt your worth. Never assume you are not enough or doing enough. Don't believe that you can do that they can do it without you. Don't for 1 second believe that. If anything, it's the total opposite. For you to stop would be a day without light. For the strength beside the badge is you. The thin blue line cannot be walked without our spouses. It would be unimaginable. And that's why you're here, because you are the gift. It is you. That's who the gift is. It's okay that people don't see the things you do. God sees it all. You're a gift wrapped up in a mustard seed way. Right past that. Get one and pass it. I wanted to give you all a mustard seed. Those trees were insignificant in Bible times. They were considered dirty. Yet Jesus said they were worthy because they grew into powerful, mighty, tall trees. So when you feel like a seed in the dirt, in the dark, where nobody's doing anything or nobody's seeing anything, and you feel like, well, I'm doing this and beating my head and nothing's being noticed, just as it said, they can't do this without you. They can't grow without you because the soil is in the foundation of your home. Have faith as small as a mustard seed and you will see mountains move. Forgive quickly that you can breathe. Have grace to even those with the signs that say, I hate you, that are against you. Have pity. Have pity. As hard as it is, fight to have pity. And when your spouse upsets you, be merciful, because you are not perfect either. Have grace and realize with like you know, that you are making a difference, whether people see it or not, that you are making a difference in the dark, that you are making a difference from your home. That way they have a place to go. It's like I like to call it the heavenly substation. It's like your heavenly substation where you can take them from officer so-and-so to their first name. It is so important. I know the session's over. I just want to say thank you. Thank you. Because I know what I'm asking you to do is not easy, and I know it's like, oh, forgiveness, and it's frustrating, and it's not going to be overnight, guys. Forgiveness is not overnight, and grace is not overnight. It's going to take time, and that's okay. But I want you to live freely. I want you to be able to breathe. We're in a moment of I can't breathe, and the Rona's masking us, and we can't breathe. I want you to breathe even when you're covered. When the patrol car pulls up, breathe. When you hear another officer down, breathe. When you're not sure if he's going to make it home, breathe. Just inhale and exhale. And let the courage inside you, the God-given courage you have been given inside you, to rise up. You do have it, whether you believe it or not, think or believe it or not, you have it. It's just a matter of accessing it and pulling it out for when you need it. Because you are courageous and you are brave. And I thank you for walking the line with them, especially in times like this where we're facing such darkness. And honestly, we don't know what we're going to face in the future. Things could get worse, guys. I don't know. But I know I support what my husband does. I believe in what he does. And it's not just about him protecting people. I love the people he's serving, whether they love him or not. Because he makes a difference. Because our officers see the world as it could, not as it should be, but as it could be. Let us believe that with them and join forces with them in that. May you be renewed today and refreshed and go out there ready. Wipe the mascara off and go. You are strong. Remember that. When you look at that bracelet, when you look at that seed, remember what you're building is far greater than, you may not see it, and that's okay, but we're building something greater than we could ever imagine. And it's not even for us. Isn't that funny? We're doing it for this world, a broken world that needs love and grace and forgiveness, humility. And so do it and do it well. And if we must suffer, then suffer well. But I believe in you. You can grow from here. You can change. So thank you so much. I love you, God. I do love you. This is my passion. I love police people. I love you. My village. Yes. So do it well. Are we good? You're not mad at me? Okay. All right.